I will tell you that even though the cyberpunk movement largely, not necessarily the flashy part of it, but when you have traditionally white men who are able to understand and unpack the technology, it makes me think of the representation of white men in technology and in finance, and then tech and finance had a baby, which is crypto. So it's a microcosm of larger representation issues. But the adoption in Black and brown communities, the crypto curious interest of 53%, a recent report or survey that was issued by Gemini. I explore that more fully in the book as well. This all points to the fact that there is kind of over-indexing in systemically marginalized populations, leaning into the fact that they may not be able to trust existing legacy systems, but they can buy into a system that doesn't redline them or doesn't have to know who they are, where they live, who they love, how much money they have or don't have, or what their assets are or aren't, what their credit rating is. Either you have the asset or you don't. Either you have the wallet or you don't.
Welcome to Tech Intersect. I'm your host, Tanya Evans, and my life and work exist at the heart of law, business, and technology. Yeah, I've earned a few fancy titles and degrees over the years, but the bottom line is I'm a writer, speaker, teacher, and lifelong learner, and I'm really excited that you've joined me on this journey. So what is Tech Intersect? Well, it's authentic, empowering conversations with really interesting guests who demystify complex topics to prepare you for the future, because your future is now, and it exists where law, business, and tech intersect. Get ready to listen, learn, and leverage. Let's get started.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Tech Intersect. I'm your host, Professor Tanya M. Evans. And in today's episode, I'm kicking off a very special 10-episode series, Digital Money Demystified. I'll be diving deep into the intriguing but often intimidating world of cryptocurrencies and the future of money and of wealth. And I'll be drawing on insights from my book of the same title, Digital Money Demystified, where I'll address the 10 most enduring crypto myths that just might be blocking you from your on-chain blessings. We'll navigate through the treacherous waters of fear, uncertainty, and doubt that is also known as the acronym FUD, but also tackle another threatening acronym, FOMO, fear of missing out. Both of them can really lead you down the wrong path really quickly in the crypto space. And whether you're just dipping your toe into the crypto space or you're well-versed and have been in this game for a minute, I want you to join me for this series as we debunk these myths together and lay a solid foundation for a fact-driven understanding of digital assets. So make sure you're subscribed to receive weekly episode drops and some of the special content I will be dropping in between episodes. So look out for that. You'll never know when it's coming. So you definitely want to subscribe for this as well. And also send me your listener feedback and questions to hello@techintersectpodcast.com. That's hello@techintersectpodcast.com. So if you're ready to embark on this enlightening journey, then let's dive in and let's do it together. Today, as I said, we're venturing into the often uncharted territory for many. There's so many of you who are crypto curious, but terrified of getting in, particularly after the crypto contagion year of 2022. There are so many scammers in the space having nothing to do with the underlying technology. Scammers are going to scam. Fraudsters are going to fraud. And the dollar is actually still the number one currency used in illicit and illegal transactions. That's not to say that there aren't issues of criminality in the crypto space. The vast majority, and we'll talk about it on a future episode, is actually above board. And it's a matter of financial privacy, accessibility, the decentralized method of being able to engage in global currency on a peer-to-peer basis, having nothing to do with illegal activity. So stick with me in this series and you will continue to learn what the myths are. Actually, we'll list them in this episode, but I want you to know what the myths are and to know that I believed every single one of them. I'm sure, perhaps you have done so as well. In fact, definitely either ping me on social media or drop me a line at hello@techintersectpodcast.com and let me know, are these myths that you have believed in the past as well? Have those myths or those beliefs actually kept you from investing in the space? As we embark on this journey, it's really essential, as I said, to lay a solid foundation. And that really begins, and it's the first chapter that I start with in the book, is by separating fact from fiction. So that's what we're going to do on this episode. Let me tell you what the myths are that I actually address in the book. And even before that, let's talk about trust, because I think trust is a really important theme, not just in crypto, but in financial transactions, in the banking system, whether it's traditional or digital. Trust is really the backbone, insurance and assurance that when you are making or engaging in a transaction with someone, maybe who you don't know or don't trust, that there was some intermediary between you and them, most likely a bank or some government or some other entity that you did trust to be the facilitator of that transaction, to reduce the possibility that that transaction will go left and you'll actually pay for something that you don't get the benefit of. So that's really, you know, trust is really the backbone of any financial system, traditional or digital. But in the crypto ecosystem, trust actually takes on a different hue, tone, texture. It's not about trusting some central entity, about a government or a bank or some other trusted, quote unquote, intermediary, particularly in light of what's going on in the world in general, but in the United States in particular in 2023. There's a lot of nothing to see here about it, but three or four banks failed and went into receivership this year. And that was the first half of this year. That is not insignificant. Or recently, the downgrade in the United States debt rating. And folks involved in stocks or on the Hill in the White House, nothing to see here. Don't worry about it. It's only the second time it's ever happened in our history. I think it's worth paying attention to. Do we continue to trust at the same level? Do other people, do other nations around the world will 5-10 years from now, will they continue to have the same unwavering belief in the full faith and credit of a government who is up against a debt crisis because of politics? So keep that in mind. Anyway, it's really crucial to debunk the myths around crypto to give you at least an idea of why crypto even exists. And then you make your own informed and prudent decision about whether or not and under what circumstances you will actually purchase crypto and make some investment. But if we operate just on the misconceptions of FUD and FOMO, then we really undermine that trust. And so that really not only undermines our ability to enrich our understanding, to continue learning, to always be intellectually curious and growing, to stay on the leading edge of technology as the world continues to change. Recently, someone said that the world will change in the next 2 years more than it has changed in the last 10. And that is absolutely true. Look at the kind of the boom and bust cycles and the reorganization around various technologies. The latest hot girl at this point is artificial intelligence, which has been around for decades, but really moving into the public consciousness at a rapid clip. So anyway, in this special series in particular, I'll be focused on digital money demystified, and look more closely at each of the myths that I discuss and unpack in my book, due out October 24th of 2023. If you're listening to this before, definitely pre-order. If not, you can get it at any time wherever books are sold. So what are the myths that I deal with in the book? One is that crypto is too volatile. And like any emerging market, there's bound to be volatility. So that in and of itself is not the myth. But you have to right-size your understanding of the role of risk and reward, of volatility. Because oftentimes volatility also presents opportunities that you can move, that you can lose the advantage of as a first mover if you don't even learn, let alone invest, and then offset riskier or more volatile investments with those that are more safe, secure, and mature. So I certainly spend a lot of time talking about that and the nature of volatility in any emerging asset class. Number two, and I could have listed this as like, number one, it's one of the top myths that I hear all the time. And I certainly believed it when I first entered the crypto space back in 2017, that crypto was only for criminals. So this misconception is born from, in some sense, selective news reporting that will sensationalize the truly bad actors when they're a very small part of a large, thriving, growing, and responsible ecosystem. Blockchain technology, when it's public and permissionless, is really a terrible place for criminal activity. It might be easy to move money on the front end, but there are government agencies around the world regularly recouping crypto because it's easy to also follow the money. When you have a database that shows every transaction and balance for every wallet that's involved in that particular ecosystem, that's really strong evidence and is public facing. You could go on to the Bitcoin Blockchain Explorer and actually see transactions in real time and actually trace where each wallet received its Bitcoin, for example, and where it was sent. So you may not know who it is, but it's pseudonymous, not anonymous. So I spend a lot of time in, the chapter that's devoted to crypto is only for criminals, unpacking that for sure. It's really critical to look at the bigger picture. Another topic is that crypto is just one big scam. They're over at the time of this recording in August of 2023. There are over 30,000 different types of crypto tokens and coins. So generalizing an entire industry based on a few bad actors is not only misleading, it's distracting you from the innovative and transformative uses of both cryptographically secured assets and blockchain technology itself. Think of blockchain this way. I use this example a lot. If you're on a group text and you have 10 people and you delete that group text from your phone, 9 other people still have it. That is a very rudimentary way to explain how blockchains record redundantly the same shared information between a group. And think of it not just as 10 people or 10,000 people, or 100,000 people, or a million people, but even more. And Bitcoin has been around since January 3rd of 2009. That's an incredible amount of transactional data over time that is secured, that it is inextricably each block of information of settled transactions is connected to the previous block. So if I wanted to change block 10,000, I'd have to unravel all of the ones connected to it, making it ever so difficult to unravel, which is the reason that when you generally hear about scams and schemes and hacks, it's not to the underlying technology unless there is some bug that hasn't proven itself, but more likely a bad actor or some human intervention at some point in the system. So I spend a lot of time covering that crypto's only for criminals or one big scam. Or crypto is bad for the environment. And I've had concerns about that to be sure. Oftentimes that conversation is around a particular method of achieving agreement or consensus about the transactional information on a particular blockchain. And that would be proof of work. But with new consensus algorithms, energy efficient solutions emerging, and ethos and a spirit in crypto communities to make the world, generally speaking, a better place, I would bet my crypto on a better, more efficient, faster, more innovative solutions coming out of the decentralized web than I do of the legacy system that's had many, many years to get it right and doesn't seem to be going very right at all. So that narrative is quickly changing, and you can't lump every type of crypto or every blockchain protocol into the same basket because they don't operate in the same way. 5, crypto is anonymous and untraceable. So as I mentioned earlier, it's more pseudonymous than anonymous. There are certain privacy coins, Monero, Zcash immediately come to mind. There are different types of software called coin mixers. It makes me think of one that was recently outlawed called Tornado Cash because it was being used by a foreign actor to launder money. That could be of concern. But there are a lot of reasons to want to have financial privacy without also being a criminal. That being said, the pseudonymous nature allows both for the privacy of the individual, but the transparency of the transactions. And that's a really powerful distinction from the current system, to be sure, but crypto isn't anonymous and untraceable. And so that's certainly a myth. Six would be blockchains and cryptocurrencies aren't secure. And in actuality, the underlying technology is very robust. Mentioned that a bit earlier as well. Again, it's often the human interface or interference where vulnerabilities arise. It makes me think of the charges that Sam Bankman-Fried, the creator of FTX, is up against. He's now back in jail, awaiting trial. His trial is in October of 2023 for an alleged scam and scheme that defrauded both investors and users of the platform. Again, not about the crypto itself, but under the umbrella of a crypto exchange platform, having people transfer their money onto the platform, encouraging them to send it there, and then siphoning off that money without their consent or knowledge into Alameda Research, which is a wild hedge funds that he also owned, to allegedly make very risky bets. It's basically a house of cards. It's basically Lehman Brothers, Bernie Madoff, just with a different type of asset. So that wasn't an asset problem. What is alleged is a fraud problem. So it's not, you know, I say all that to say, and I have several episodes that deal with FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried, and I will be doing more as that trial begins. So definitely subscribe so that I will keep you up to date. I'll be a little more active in keeping you up to date on a weekly basis for some of the hottest news, because there's always some breaking news in the space.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tanya M. Evans, author of Digital Money Demystified. And I want to let you know that to stay on the leading edge of any opportunity, especially investing, you have to empower yourself with the tools and resources needed to keep your knowledge and skills current. And if you're relying on last year's information or even last month's, look, you're already behind. Sure, you can try to figure this out on your own at YouTube University. The problem is, it's difficult to separate fact from fiction with so many carnival barkers banking on your inexperience. And of course, there are the naysayers, usually from legacy finance, banking on your fear while they quietly help their high net worth clients to invest. All of it muddies the waters when all you want to know is how to get in safely, legally, and confidently so you're not left behind. That's why I wrote Digital Money Demystified, where I take the top 10 crypto myths head on and give you well-researched, well-supported facts to empower you to make good choices out there in the new digital cash economy. As a law professor who developed the first blockchain crypto and law online certificate program, a retail and corporate crypto policy and education trainer, and a thought leader appearing regularly on national media, I've done the heavy lifting so you don't have to. Look, there are plenty of books and courses on which crypto assets to invest in. Digital Money Demystified is the book you read before you dive into those. So head to digitalmoneydemystified.com to learn more and prepare for the future of money and wealth today. All right. Number seven, that crypto is unregulated. Hear this a lot. The regulatory landscape, particularly in the United States, but all around the world, is rapidly evolving. And many countries are now setting up frameworks to integrate crypto into their financial systems. It makes me think of Singapore. It makes me think of Canada. It makes me think of the sand dollar in the Bahamas. It makes me think of a range of other places. UAE is very forward thinking. Makes me think of Zug, Switzerland. That is basically Crypto Valley. If We have Silicon Valley. We also have Crypto Valley in Zug. So the issue around regulation, particularly in the United States, is the uncertainty where we have the heads of agencies actually choosing not to issue rules and regulations, but actually sue or bring enforcement actions against particular actors. A great example would be the SEC against Coinbase, arguably one of the most well-respected actors from a technology point of view in the space. Actually had Paul Graywall, the chief legal officer from Coinbase, on a previous episode, so definitely listen to that. He and I had the great occasion to testify together before the House Financial Services Subcommittee on Digital Assets, Financial Technology, and Inclusion. And they are really stepping up to the plate, not only on behalf of Coinbase, but on behalf of the entire ecosystem. So you should definitely listen out to the work that they're doing. But the idea that there is no regulation, which suggests that it's just completely the wild, wild west and that there's no accountability. Let's ask Sam Bankman-Fried, who was, again, he was out on bail and broke the conditions and the bail was revoked and he was sent to jail. Bad actors are still held to the same standards. And in fact, I believe that Sam Bankman-Fried actually was brought in faster than Bernie Madoff, who dealt obviously in dollars. The point is, there are gaps in the legislative and regulatory environment that make it really difficult for companies to act with certainty because there's one-on-one enforcement of individuals as opposed to fashioning rules and regulations that would apply across the board to an industry. And my testimony before Congress spoke to that issue. In addition to teaching blockchain, crypto, and the law, and information privacy law, and intellectual property law, I also teach administrative law. And so it's really, really important to understand the nature of agencies in the executive branch, how they are empowered by legislative enactment from Congress. And so we really do need Congress to act. And I'm really excited about some of the bills coming out of Congress. I don't know that they'll be passed in a presidential election cycle, but I am encouraged that there are more people who know more about the space and are working behind the scenes on a bipartisan basis to make that happen. All right, number nine, crypto is just a passing fad, a bubble waiting to burst. Well, that I don't, people are still saying that. I don't know that you can make a reasoned argument about that at this point in time. Every revolutionary and evolutionary idea from the printing press to the internet faced skepticism. Time showcases resilience and relevance. And the decentralized web that's largely powered by cryptographically secured assets, decentralized software protocol, that is just here to stay. Bitcoin's been around, as I said, since 2009. Ethereum came in 2014, 2015. Then you had a proliferation of tokens built in the Ethereum ecosystem. You have since had a number of different chains and their own tokens or native coins. This technology is here to stay. The various technologies that go into creating blockchain technology and creating cryptographically secured assets, they've all been around for a long time. Cryptography, which is the encryption of messaging so that you can, A, can encrypt it, send the message to B without it being intercepted. You actually would have to know the code in order to decipher it. And then you have peer-to-peer technology, think peer-to-peer file sharing, Napster, Rockster, et cetera, the decentralized file storage and movement, thinking, you know, BitTorrent and the like. It's been around a long time. Obviously, the internet, consensus protocols, putting them all together was something new and novel. That's Satoshi, who created Bitcoin. I encourage you to find, maybe I'll drop this in the show notes, the Satoshi white paper, 9 pages, I believe 9 footnotes that essentially disrupted all of the world as we know it. You should definitely commit, if you don't read anything else by the end of this year, read that 9-page white paper to get an idea for why crypto in general, but Bitcoin in particular, was offered to the world and decentralized from the beginning. And after passing fad, bubble waiting to burst, the 10th myth that I debunk in the book, and each episode will be devoted more specifically to a myth. Number 10, crypto is only for the crypto bros. So what this really is a reference to is the stereotypically white man, perhaps in finance, but definitely in tech, an early adopter of this technology, somebody who is riding Bitcoin to the moon and may have a Lambo and flashy and a expensive watch and at all the conferences. And if you're not investing in crypto, you are an idiot. Have fun staying poor, I've heard some say. I will tell you that even though the cyberpunk movement largely, not necessarily the flashy part of it, but when you have traditionally white men who are able to understand and unpack the technology, it makes me think of the representation of white men in technology and in finance. And then tech and finance had a baby, which is crypto. So it's a microcosm of larger representation issues. But the adoption in Black and brown communities, the crypto curious interest of 53%, a recent report or survey that was issued by Gemini. I explore that more fully in the book as well. This all points to the fact that there is kind of over-indexing in systemically marginalized populations, leaning into the fact that they may not be able to trust existing legacy systems, but they can buy into a system that doesn't redline them or doesn't have to know who they are, where they live, who they love, how much money they have or don't have, or what their assets are or aren't, what their credit rating is. Either you have the asset or you don't. Either you have the wallet or you don't. It's a very democratizing system in terms of access and opportunity. There is a great deal of adoption, for example, in various countries in Africa, in other countries where there's a destabilization of a currency. And you have some assurance in Bitcoin in particular, which makes it a very, very powerful alternative. And dare I say, the possibility that someday we'll look back and say, do you remember that time when Bitcoin wasn't the global reserve? And it's a bold statement to say now, because obviously the global currency reserve is dollars, but there are a few nations, I don't want to overstate it at this point in time, taking a second look and maybe starting to reduce some of their reliance on the dollar, given all of the political strife that we currently have. So definitely keep that in mind as you're moving forward. Each of these myths presents really a fascinating aspect of a larger narrative. And so as we debunk these myths, we journey closer and closer to understanding the transformative power of crypto and also the opportunities they present and the pitfalls to be wary of. I should state, it's not all rainbows and unicorns, but there's a lot of power and promise amidst the pitfalls. So I want you to keep that in mind. A quick mention about just separating fact from fiction in crypto investment, because in an era that's really marked by revolutionary financial shifts, crypto kind of stands out as this like poster child of modern finance. But with any major disruption, it's always accompanied by just cloud of talk.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
A lot of carnival barking, a lot of all crypto all the time or no crypto any of the time. Some of it's informed, a lot of it is not. So you just have this whirlwind of FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, and an escalating fear of missing out. And so people just throw their money at any meme coin, not fully understanding or appreciating, trying to get rich quickly. Now, as an aside, and I learned this from Myron Golden, I have no problem getting wealthy quickly, as long as it is something that is above board and it is legal and ethical, all for it. Because the opposite, if you're not getting wealthy quickly or getting rich quickly, I guess you're getting rich slowly or not at all. That doesn't seem like a fun option to me either. But I know whenever we hear get rich quick, that suggests scheme or scam. I want to suggest to you that getting rich or wealthy quickly requires that you get smart even more quickly. And that means that you really have to start to unpack and understand how this system works, why it exists, and how you can benefit from it while you are also keeping yourself safe. Because the consequences of FUD and FOMO, I've just heard too many bad stories of people believing the wrong thing and so they miss an opportunity, or the other side of that, people thinking they have a great opportunity and then they get, as we say in crypto, getting wrecked, like losing everything, or not having a particular investment agenda, which means that at the moment that there's some type of thing that looks like crisis, you're pulling all your money out. I remember looking at my 403b and other retirement assets, particularly in the middle of the pandemic, and my crypto portfolio was a disaster as well. But I didn't sell all my stocks out of my 403b because the stock market was going down. Just like I'm not going to be overly zealous when things go up. You're thinking about balancing a portfolio within an asset class and across asset classes so that when something's up and something's down, over time and across your investment portfolio, things iron out. So definitely talk to your financial advisor, talk to your lawyer, talk to your CPA. Make sure they're well-versed in this space. And if they're not, they'll get you another one, because there are a lot of people taking a lot of money, promise me when I tell you, and making a lot of mistakes because they know or don't know that they don't know, and can really cause a lot of confusion and problems. But fear of missing out during a bullish market, which means when the price starts to really pump and really soar, that's also a recipe for disaster. You want to be in this space in the same way you would any investment, and not do it out of emotion, but out of calculating, assessing your risk versus your reward, and having a strategy so that when things go up really quickly or down really quickly, you aren't beholden to emotional swings. There's so many stories. I cover some of those in the book as well. In the weeks to come, we'll have people come on and maybe I'll ask them about kind of their war stories or horror stories about what happened to them in the space. But the cautionary tales really underscore the consequences of decisions made either in haste or in panic. Those are things that we want to avoid, because that is when you start to make emotional decisions, and that leads to losses, obviously, in your coin, but also in your confidence. The psychological toll that it takes when you hurry up and throw money in, you have family that's relying on you, et cetera, et cetera, and then you lose everything. Now you have to explain that to yourself and to your family, or you miss out on an opportunity and see other people winning and hanging out in the south of France and calling their boss to say they're having troubles with their lives. And the boss says, why? And says, I can't see myself coming back to work for you. So there's a lot going on when you miss opportunity or think you have a good opportunity when you don't, right? So building a fact-driven foundation in the space based on the power of authentic information is where the real win is. And so here's some things that I want to leave you with. And as a reminder, make sure that you are subscribed for the next episode. Send me your questions. Definitely go to digitalmoneydemystified.com to learn more about how you can pre-order the book, how you can start today with my Digital Money Demystified bundle, how you can watch a free masterclass, how you can join my mastermind, how you can take a course from Cash to Crypto. There is something for everyone. Wherever you are entering, I have something for you. From my mastermind at $15,000 all the way to a free masterclass called the Bitcoin Beginner's Blueprint. So the only thing that is standing between you and participation is your willingness to lean into competent, credible, reliable information. And that's what you're going to find in Digital Money Demystified at digitalmoneydemystified.com, and certainly here in this special series. So before we get out of here, some steps to simplify, safely, and securely explore crypto investing. Education first. Yes, I am a professor. Yes, I am biased. Yes, I am educated. But I never learned as much as I learned about finance and even technology, but finance in particular, until I really dove in the deep end of crypto back in 2017. before diving in and on a continuing basis, as you continue to explore different levels of crypto offerings, invest time in learning. Platforms like the masterclass that I mentioned, my courses at AdvantageEvans.com, resources like CoinMarketCap.com, where you can use them on a free basis to do your research. D-Y-O-R, do your own research. Don't do it all over the interweb. Go to CoinMarketCap.com. There's another, CoinGecko. CoinGecko is another one where you could go provide real-time data and insights for free 99. Go there and start to become familiar with the plethora of offerings and start to uncover both in communities that you can trust with experts, not carnival barkers or influencers whom you can trust as well. Engage with communities, use verified platforms, as I said, just don't go off on the side or do your own thing. Start in communities that you can trust and get trusted information, not from your girlfriend's brother's cousin who just learned about something on social media. So definitely rock with an expert. I have a ton of resources at digitalmoneydemystified.com. So I invite you to start there. I will have some of these links both in the show notes, depending upon where you are watching or listening, but also at the website. Remember this idea of diversifying your portfolio and talk to your portfolio advisor. Consult professionals who are well-versed in the crypto space. There are a ton of people giving super bad advice because they may be a part of the legacy system that has a vested interest in you staying with the legacy system and not worrying your pretty little head about how to empower yourself in the future of money and wealth. So be really careful there. And as a final word, navigating the crypto waters can seem daunting, but crypto at its core isn't complex, it's new. So again, crypto at its core isn't complex, it's just new. And anything new requires that you understand it, that it requires patience and effort, a commitment to learning. When I was first driving in a car, well, let me say this, if I didn't take lessons and all that, I could literally kill someone in my car. Now I barely think about driving because I've been doing it for so long. It takes time, but you can master this. If I can do it, and I'm a Gen Xer, my boomer parents can do it. I'm a non-technologist who found her way into a really exciting time at the leading edge of the future of work and wealth and creativity and innovation. And the future is really exciting and it's really, really bright, particularly for those who haven't always had an in order to really move the needle, not just on income, but on generational wealth, which is generally created by capital assets. Crypto assets are taxed in the United States as capital assets. So what else stocks, real estate, other traditional investments where you're investing either your time or your creativity or your money into an asset that brings back a return on investment. That's very different than consuming. That is building. Investing is building. Creating opportunities to invest in and create opportunities and assets that actually ever return. A business, real estate, crypto. They all can work together. The question is how. That depends on you and your risk tolerance as well, your age, your stage, and where you want to see yourself in 5 or 10 years. What's the life that you want to have? Do you want to have a retirement you can rely on? Or do you want to try and figure this out 10 years from now when everybody else is on board and you're left to figure out why and kicking yourself and answering your grandchildren when they say, why didn't you invest in this back in the day? Why didn't you learn more about it back in the day? So, and you might ask yourself that. There is a life that you want to live and it requires a tool so that you can unlock and tools and keys so that you can unlock freedom. So it's not even just about the end game of crypto, but what it can do to transform who you are and what you have and where you are today into the person that you want to be. All right. So that you can create a life where you can spend more time with the people you love doing the things you want to do so that you do everything you want to and nothing you don't. All right. I'm Professor Tanya Evans, the CEO of Me. This is a special series, Digital Money Demystified, a 10-part 10-episode series on Tech Intersect. Until next time, be good to yourself and others, and drop me a line. I want to hear your questions, your comments, your discussion items, and what you're doing to prepare yourself for the future. Because guess what? The future. It's now. Take care.
Thank you so much for listening to the Tech Intersect podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you love it, please tell the world. If not, go ahead and tell me. And in either case, drop a comment or ping me on social media at IPProfEvans with the hashtag TechIntersect. And finally, a quick reminder on digital safety. There are a lot of scammers out there impersonating me and others, and I need your help. Now hear this, and remember, I will never slide into your DMs to say peace and blessings or hey, and I will never reach out to solicit your time or your money on social media, like ever. I'm not a trader. I am an educator and an attorney licensed in 4 states. Thank you very much. I'm here to inform, inspire, and empower. No cap. And definitely no Forex. So be careful, make good choices, and remember, I developed an entire free masterclass about the topic of digital safety in the crypto space. So check out secureyourcryptobag.com for more information. That's secureyourcryptobag.com. All right, that's all for this episode. Until next time, continue to shine.